Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday, February 24th. And the weather where I am here in Atlanta, it's a little better than it has been, but still a little chilly. We hope wherever you are, you're able to sit back and listen to us as we move along. And once again, this is a show from the man's point of view about things that are going on in the world today. And we usually have, you know, 6 or 7 panelists, but today, right now, it's just one of the panelist members with myself. Like last week, I think I'm going to have to redo my panel, but they're all got good excuses. But like I say, welcome to Ron. Now, Ron is a fundraiser, and he's down in Miami. So, Ron, say hello to the people and tell us what's the weather where you are. Ron loves to tell us what the weather is. What's the weather like in Miami right now?
I do, David, only because it's usually beautiful down here with very few exceptions, and today is not one of those exceptions. Right now it's a balmy 87 degrees and nice sunshine. So, you know, it's always for people like me that hate the cold, this is a great place to be.
Or you at work, or you at the gym working out.
Okay.
It's gonna be on your phone.
We just had Don join in, and you can tell by the background noise, there's Don.
Don. Yes, indeed. Here in
Palm Beach,
South Florida. I'm in South Florida.
No, we know that, but wherever you are, there was a lot of background noise, but it seems to be gone now.
Yeah, I had some people I was around. I just moved from around it.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, and this is Don. Don is a marketing rep. He is also in Miami, down where the weather is, where Ron was just telling it is not its normal 100%. And I think that's Jeremiah. Sir? Or was that, hello?
That's Jeremiah, yes it is.
Yes, there we go. Jeremiah is one of our panelists who, you know, doesn't talk a whole lot, but he's the young guy, so we let that slide. You know, we put him in the bank of, I'll sit back and listen, and then I'll get you later. Anyway, as we move on the show, we want to talk about some things. And I guess the one thing that's on everybody's mind, and I don't know, well, there's a couple of things. One, I want to bring this up because last week, we had the conversation, should men be involved in the decision, abortion decision? And we, I think we came to the conclusion that yes, they should. Jeremiah even confirmed that with this. But this week, I want to start off the conversation with, there's a young lady who left the United States to go marry somebody in ISIS. Now she doesn't like the wedding and she wants to come back to the United States, but of course the Trump administration says no. So her family has now sued the Trump administration. And my question to the panel is, do you think, there's a couple of issues I have about this. Do you think that women who leave and go marry somebody who is against the United States should be allowed back into the country? What do you think, Don?
Ooh, that's a tough one there, David. That's a tough one there. You know, she chose to go marry someone from a different country, and now she wants back in. Is that what the question is?
Yeah, she wants to come back, and she wants to now be the spokeswoman for why women shouldn't go and marry, you know, ISIS people, but I think she's kind of using that as a way to get back in the country because the Trump administration is not allowing her back in. But her family has now sued the Trump administration. So everybody's waiting to see where this is going to go. So what are your thoughts?
Well, if she was born in the United States, she should be able to come back into the United States. That's the way I feel about it.
But she's also married to the organization that claims the 9/11 disaster. So I guess a lot of people's mind, no one will be able to trust her back in the United States because they would think that she possibly is working for them. What do you think, Ron?
That's a tough one, David. That's a tough one.
Ron, what do you think?
Well, you know, there's two things to look at here. And then in its purest and simplest form, you know, she is an American. So without any other variables thrown into the mix, in my mind, you know, if she went off to another country to marry somebody of a different religion or whatever, I'm not saying, you know, let's not put ISIS into the mix yet, but just, you know, somebody that is Muslim or Buddha or whatever, you know, then she should be let back in because she is an American citizen. If I were in her shoes and they didn't let me back in, I would raise hell. But, okay, having said that, the fact that she did marry somebody from ISIS, that paints a whole new picture for me. And usually, you know, I'm pretty open-minded and liberal about things. But in this case, I think I would lean more toward not letting her back in because we don't know who she's been talking to. We don't know what information she has shared. We don't know anything about that, you know, unless there's a fully vetted, thorough investigation on her. But, you know, I would have serious doubts as to why she would even, you know, marry somebody that is part of ISIS in the first place, you know, knowing what that stands for and what we stand for. So that raises all kinds of red flags for me. So, no, I would not let her back in.
Another point is, how did she find this guy? I mean, how did she make that connection? I don't know, because that part hasn't been explained to me, how she made that connection to go marry somebody like that anyway. Because I would think that, you know, that would be a hard piece to put together. So now she wants to come back in the country. What about you, Jeremiah? What do you think?
I say no, man. I say no. We don't know how she met this gentleman. It probably was a very easy situation online. And then if she met him in a very easy situation, I would say to persuade her might be very easy as well. And at the same time, she could have had this in the back of her head because we don't know how long she's been gone, but let's just say it's been a few months. Or let's just say she thought about that. I'm making a big decision here where if I do go over there, what if I want to come back home? I know she thought about all this stuff. But she was prepared to fight if she wasn't allowed to come back. So guess what? She was ready for this disaster. She needs to fight to come back in the United States. And I feel more safe and more confident with her not coming back in the United States.
Right. Her whole thing is come back to the United States to try to be the role model for other women who might be thinking about doing something like that.
Well, she can do that online. She can do it by writing a book. She can do it by social media. You don't have to be here to do that. I'm sorry.
Right. And it could be the opposite. She's coming here to recruit more women to take back.
Exactly.
But no, I think it's more of a negative than a positive in saying that my mind is you made the decision. And besides, I thought in that Muslim religion, you can't get a divorce. So I don't know why they're letting her come back.
I didn't think
in that religion, you can't. Divorce is not something you can do. Anyway, we'll see where that goes. I know that Ron is on 5%. Of his battery life. He's sitting in a car. But I want to to back on that a little bit, there was a gentleman who was just recently let out of prison for, he's been there for like 15 years. And the reason they're letting him out is the lady who said that he raped her now says it didn't really happen. So this was a college guy who was up for a contract to make millions of dollars. They put him in jail. He was in, he was a life term, but now the girl is saying, "That was a lie. He didn't really rape me." But so you know, this has happened a lot recently, and all the way back to the gentleman. You know, we've seen this a lot. What are your thoughts on that, Don? Do you think the girl should be prosecuted? Do you think that it's, you know, because she just ruined this guy's life?
Right, right. I think she should be prosecuted. This gentleman just had his life altered severely, turned upside down, went to jail because he was alleged to have raped. I'm reminded of Emmett Till. Emmett Till lost his life because of a lie that some woman told. So, you know, that has got to stop. And the thing is, you know, not having the right legal defense, we're finding out after the fact, and it's really too late. What's the gentleman's name? Do you have his name?
No, they didn't put his name in the article. But what they said was, there was an article was that he broke down and cried when they finally decided to release him, and because the lady had revealed that she had lied all along, and in court when they told him he was free, he broke down and cried, and that was the article, more than who he was or anything, which I thought was very strange.
And he also grabbed the judge's hand and cried. Is that the story you're talking about?
No, that was another one.
Oh,
there's another couple.
Okay. Wrong, David. Wrong. She should be penalized for that lie.
True. And the lady you brought up Emmett Till, the lady who said that Emmett Till had whistled at her or something. Now she's 80 and she comes out and says, "Well, that never really happened." So, do you believe she should also be prosecuted? Because I do.
Yes, I do. Yeah, and you know what? It doesn't make any difference how old she is. I mean, that changed the whole trajectory of America when that happened. I remember as a kid going to school and reading a Jet magazine and looking at that mutilated body laying in the casket. That had a devastating effect on me.
For everyone who might be listening who might not be aware of the Emmett Till, I'm sure that, and I'm kind of surprised if you don't know, but it was a young boy who was 14, I believe, at the time. He went to Mississippi, and while he was from Chicago, went to Mississippi. While he was in Mississippi, this lady said that he whistled at her, and so all the town men, her father, brothers, cousins, and everybody got the young man and beat him to death. And for his mother, when they brought the body to Chicago, they wanted to do a closed casket because he was so destroyed. But she insisted that the casket stay open so that the world would see what had happened to her son while he was in Mississippi. So that is the Emmett Till piece. But come to find out now, the lady finally came out, which has been, what, 60, 70, 80 years, and said, "He never really whistled at me. I was convinced to make that up." And so this young man lost his life because of that. Well, and then just recently, there's one, this gentleman is getting out of jail after so many years, and there's another young man, the same thing has happened. But nothing seems to be happening to the people that are making these charges. So what that says is, to a, you know, you know, let me charge somebody with something as a woman, let me charge somebody with something and I don't have to worry about it, because if I tell a lie, I'll come back later 20 years and let him out, which is a bad thought to be putting in people's mind here in the United States. What do you think about that, Ron?
I'm sorry, David. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, it was just that, you know, what are your thoughts on what should happen to people who accuse others of false crimes and they spend years and years in jail?
Oh, well, I obviously I don't think that's right for somebody to falsely accuse somebody and that's the case, right? And then the person went to jail and they ended up being innocent. Is that what happened?
Well, in the Emmett Till piece, he lost his life, and you know there have been through the years others who have lost their lives because of the stories that were told about them.
I think if somebody, well, I don't know. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that's a tough one, because when you're a victim of something, you're confronted with all these issues that you're trying to cope with, and so you know the first and foremost thing in your mind is to get the person that victimized you to get them locked up, or to get, you know, to protect yourself, basically. There are mistakes made, and I know it happens, probably more so than we would like. But I don't know that the person should be held accountable or punished for accusing somebody if it's an honest mistake. You know, if it's a false accusation and it can be proven that that the person misaccused somebody knowingly, which I think is almost impossible to prove, then I think that person obviously should go to jail themselves or somehow be punished.
Yeah, but how do you not, if it was rape, how can that be a mistake?
Well, because if you're drinking, okay, I mean, there's so many different scenarios. But let's just say one scenario is that you're drinking and you're pretty sure that you know who raped you, but maybe not 100%. And maybe in that 1 or 2 or 3 or 5% that you're unsure lies the truth. And so the person that you accused could be innocent, unfortunately, but in your mind, you're almost 100% sure that they were the rapist, the victimizer.
So you're saying that when they come back and say that the person didn't rape them, that was a mistake. But then,
right,
if they didn't know in the beginning, they shouldn't have made that they shouldn't have pointed their finger at that person.
Well, you know, science has come a long way, and now I don't think it's as easy to make those kinds of mistakes, the DNA testing and all of that. But I think there should be inconclusive evidence that the person is the rapist, or you know, whatever the situation might be, before they're sentenced to life in prison, or you know, 50 years in prison, or worse even, the death sentence. So I think there needs to be inconclusive evidence, and I think, as I said, with all the science and different methodology available to us today, that's more feasible than it would have been 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Okay. What do you think, Jeremiah?
Well, I think she should be penalized, whether that's facing time in prison or jail or
well, let me just say this. There's a gentleman who just got out of prison after 39 years because through forensic they were able to say that he didn't commit the double murder that he went to jail for 39 years ago. So as he walked out the door, they handed him a check for $21 million.
Wow.
Because they put him in jail and he didn't commit the murders. So
let me just say
that particular incident, shouldn't these people who are going to jail for rape and stuff be paid, and shouldn't the people who charge them with should be making that payment?
Correct. It depends on how it happened, because sometimes it's actually the justice system's fault. But let's go back a little bit, because there's a time where in different states where detectives, they were plotting things on guys. They were pinning crimes on individuals. I'm not too sure. I've heard the story before, if it was minorities or this or that. But this was happening years ago in the 80s. In the 70s and the 80s, crimes were plotted on people that had a similar criminal background or even no criminal background to have a subject for their case to solve their crime. Remember, as a detective, as a police department, you have a quota. You need to solve as many crimes as possible. I don't know the specific number, but you need to solve as many crimes as possible. So how does it go? You know, you're a detective in New York City. There's 100 murders a year, and you can't solve half of those murders. You know what I mean? And sometimes they actually incarcerated the wrong people. Going back to that gentleman of doing, 39 years and receiving $21 million?
Yes.
Money is great. Money is great. But time is everything. How do we know if this guy's been, 60 years old or 70, 80 years old, that he can't even enjoy $2 million of that $21 million? That's important. Because if it was 9 years, but 30-something years in prison, you could barely enjoy that money they gave you. You probably, all those years in prison, you probably don't even have any kids. So you can't even leave nobody that money. It's going to be the state or federal government money once again. So I think this lady should be somehow incarcerated, jailed, or probationized at home or something. And also, she could be sued by this individual, because if she made this accusation and she actually told the truth that, I just kind of made it up because I wanted some action. I want to see something happen, whatever her foolish reason was. Something needs to happen to her, because people pay all the time for their mistakes, their foolishness, and this guy and his family went through a lot of grief with her foolishness.
Right. All right. You're listening to The Man's Voice here, and we have a panel of men who are discussing things, and if you have some issues you would like to talk to us about, please call us at 646-668-8740. I want to talk about some other things, but one of the things, Microsoft is having a problem right now, and we wouldn't think that a company like this would have major issues, but the issue that they're having is Microsoft has decided to manufacture Battlefield headsets. And now their workers are protesting Microsoft making stuff for war. So the workers are saying, we're protesting. We don't want to make this item. So we don't want Microsoft to get into making things that would work in wars. What do you think? Don, what do you think? Should Microsoft not do it? Should what do you think about this? Hello, Don.
I don't know, David. I just don't know.
Do you think Microsoft should be making things to help our military in war? Do you think the United States should be making things, or that any of these tech companies should help the United States for war supplies?
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think they should help. And the thing is, why wouldn't they want to help? Because we have funds and a budget set up to assist them. When we fought World War II, General Motors helped build tanks.
Right. All right. So I see Bruce. You're there.
Yes.
Tell me
yes,
what you're talking about. Welcome.
Sorry, Sorry, it's so late. We have 50-mile-an-hour winds and driving snow up here. So you Floridians ought to love that.
We're talking to Bruce, and Bruce happens to be in Michigan. So we have to welcome Bruce. Anyway, what are your thoughts?
First of all, I want to agree with Don. I think our highly technical or manufacturer skills or companies that can help in an effort that is ugly and we wish was unnecessary called war, they absolutely should help. So I agree with Don on that. I want to take it one step further. When the employees want to kind of exercise their right and say, well, we don't like this, we don't want to do this, so don't do it, the way it should really be done, because if, let's say I was the employer, I would say, okay, guys and gals, if you want that kind of power to tell me not to do something or that I feel our management should or shouldn't do, then I want you to also share in the risk. So if our company has a downfall, can I take some of that out of your salary? Well, of course they're not going to agree to that. So my point in all of it is that employees should find a way to effectively influence the manager and have input, but not dictate, because they have no position. They should not really be dictating. They should be influencing and trying to help management create an environment where they can help management make a decision.
All right. So you think that it should be a conversation with the employees by upper management and asking their opinion, or dictating that they are going to do this?
No, that they should, David, that they should try and in some way, and I can't tell you off the top of my head how that is, because it'll change from company to company, find a way that they can influence and provide input, valuable input, that manager feels is valuable to help mold that decision. But like I said, and a bunch of employees say, well, I don't want you to do that, so don't do it. And if you do, I'm upset, or I'm gonna pick it or something. Well, then the management has every right to say, when we have a downturn or we have a financial loss in the company, I want you to help share in that loss. Well, you know, employees are not going to want to do that. You wouldn't. I wouldn't. So they don't have the, they have respectful input, unless they want to take on some of the risk that a company takes, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right. All right, somebody is at a party or something. They're getting a lot of...
Yeah. A radio or something.
There right. Okay. Usually that's Don in these parties. All right, so I want to talk about one last thing before I turn over to the panelists and let the panelists kind of direct us in directions they want to go. But the one thing that everybody has been talking about, and it makes no sense to me because why it happened so many different times, but this is a bigger issue, it seems. The, what is his name, Jesse Smollett piece, he made up this thing, and these people, he did because he was a little upset about how much money he was making compared to the other actors on this show. And now it's a big to-do, but actors have always done stunts like these. That's what part of Hollywood. But this seems to be, I think, because of social media, taken to another level. What do you think, Ron? What do you think about this whole thing? Do you think, first of all, he's been indicted and going to jail and all that. Do you think all this is just too much drama?
It's definitely too much drama, and I don't even know anymore what to believe and what not to believe. I mean, obviously at the beginning I did believe that he was attacked, and now that the quote unquote truth has come out, I'm like in shock. I mean, what was he thinking? I mean, and I know that people are saying that he did it because he didn't think he was being fairly compensated by the movie studios for the show Empire, but I think there's more to it than that. I mean, there's got to be. I mean, I don't. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think that's the way you go about, getting people to feel sorry for you, and that's going to cause the movie studios to give you a raise. I don't think it works that way. So I don't know what he was thinking, but it obviously backfired so far. And I know he's still, I believe he's still claiming that he's innocent. So I'm very curious to see how this all transpires in the end.
Well, actually, in the last reports, he's not complaining he's innocent anymore. Now he's making apologies.
Even worse for him then.
he's digging himself a deeper hole now.
Right. Yeah. I think he should just let the lawyer handle it and don't say anything. But he's done apologies because, of course, he's done the morning TV shows or Sunday TV shows and stuff, and he's apologizing for doing it. And the city, when he was in, I think, Chicago, whatever, they indicted him.
Chicago.
Yeah. And they have indicted him. But this is, over the years, Hollywood, a lot of these things have happened, and they never have to go to court. They do them. They think they blow it off. The people disappear. And of course, according to news this morning, they've already taken him out of the last two episodes of the show, which it was. I think this is the last season of it. And so for the last two episodes, they've deleted his character. So I don't know how they're gonna get rid of him on the show, but he's already terminated. So, what do you think, Jeremiah? You think it's
I didn't hear parts for you went out a little bit. Can you repeat that a little bit?
Yeah, this the Jesse Smollett thing. Do you think that it's just he's going to court, possibly go to jail? But I have seen through the years Hollywood do a lot of this kind of thing. Do you think that he should go to jail for that?
I mean, I don't know exactly, you know, too much about the case. I just think that you could face jail time, but I think he might go to jail for this. Honestly, he might go to jail for this.
Well, it's a false. It would be a misdemeanor for making a false police report. That's the whole idea. But somehow they're trying to boost it up to a felony charge.
It depends on the accusations that will actually make it a felony charge. Now, if he's done something in the past before, for one, that can make it a felony, or if he has a history of doing this, like this is his second or third time doing it, it makes him a felony. Just like if you commit two misdemeanors, that second or third time, that misdemeanor is going to be a felony. So... it is a possibility. And remember, misdemeanors, you still can face jail time for a misdemeanor.
True. But to me, this is nothing but another movie. This is nothing but a way to make more money by now another mini feature on, you know, they're trying to place this into a movie or a book. What are your thoughts let's see, Ron?
I already shared my thoughts, but...
Right, but do you think he should go to jail?
Well, yes, I do, actually. I have no idea for how long. I mean, that's beyond my scope, but I do think that he should be punished, for filing...
Everybody out there who's doing these kinds of things can be punished. I mean, you're opening a big door to me.
Well,
no, you're not.
Yeah,
no, you're not.
But
okay,
the whole thing, I mean, go ahead, Bruce.
Well, let me chime in on this. Gentlemen, let me chime in, please.
Let Ron finish your thought, and then Don and I, we want to chime in.
Okay, so, I mean, yes, I think he should be punished. I can't even begin to explain the reasons why, but what he did was plain wrong. And all the resources that were used, to prosecute, I mean, to investigate and then to prosecute. I mean, that, to me, it's like a 15-year-old that was thinking this plan through. And I like the guy. I didn't really know much about him. But, now he's got, he's African American and he's gay. So right there, you know, in many ways, and you know, he had a double whammy against him, and now, you know, he tried to bring this whole Trump situation in. People are not going to be very sympathetic, I think.
Okay.
Yes,
Don.
Yeah, David, you know, we don't know if he's guilty or not yet. I mean, he's been alleged to have paid these gentlemen to do that, but he's denied it. We don't know if he's guilty or not. But the point I'm making is, and the point I'd like to make is, lying, blatant lying, has become an acceptable culture in America. We got a president of the United States that lies every single day. Should he be arrested? Should he be put in jail?
Yeah.
I mean, lying has been an acceptable culture to advance your career or gain revenue. Tell a lie. That is ridiculous. America's going through a change I've never seen before, where lying is an acceptable culture, and that's what we're experiencing.
It's a huge symptom of lack of moral fiber in this country for
exactly.
So many ways. And let me chime in, too, if I may, Don. None of us have touched on what the police chief of Chicago did so well. He says, wait a minute, you guys are out here playing your games. Maybe he's guilty, maybe he's not. I agree with Don and Ron that said that. But that will come out in some fashion. But what about all the police resources and things that were used to go on this, if it is, a wild goose chase? And all of that, I mean, who's responsible for that? This gentleman, if he's not guilty, he's got to find a way to convince people of that. If he is guilty, he's got to stop this and admit to it and put an end to this. Because, I mean, there's so many things involved now in this PC society. And as you said, Don, you know, it gets whipped up into a frenzy, and the moral fiber of, you know what, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing that, seems to be lost in the shuffle nowadays.
All right.
Exactly, and it's costing us money and resources, like you said, Bruce, to even go along with this shenanigan. I mean, just think about the money it's costing to go along with this allegedly lie shenanigan.
The police chief is pissed, and you could see it in his interview.
And you know what? If we could have the money that has been spent already on this shenanigan with this young man, I don't care if he's gay or if he's black. It doesn't even matter to me. But if we could just have the money that's been spent on this shenanigan, we would be able to help with the infrastructure of Flint, Michigan, and people would have clean drinking water.
That's right. And as much as we're trying to keep a lid on and calm down and soothe what some people say is a rising tide in racism again, which I don't necessarily agree, but it's coming to the forefront again, when he starts saying, well, I had a noose and these guys had MAGA hats on and they had this and that. It doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree with someone's political persuasion. You're whipping this whole subject up again. What are you thinking, young man? This is crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we come to no conclusion on the Jesse Smollett piece in terms of what should be the outcome, because I think we'll just let it see how it goes. But we are under the, you know, we're saying it's been very expensive. It's going to be more expensive.
David, that's not true. I think you heard from all of us that if he's guilty, he needs to be punished and let the powers to be figure out what the punishment is. If he's not guilty, stand up and stop this charade right now.
How do you stop the charade?
You better ask Jesse.
Well, because my whole thing is, when you say stop the charade, are you saying him or are you saying nationally? Because I don't think that's ever going to stop, because that's the culture of Hollywood.
You're right. You're right about that. No, we're talking about this one incident. And if you're going to start helping the national sickness of it all or national concern, it happens one incident at a time. It builds one incident at a time. So we try to tear it back down to a calm level one incident at a time.
All right. Well, you're listening to The Man's Voice, and we've got, you know, people all over the nation talking, and I wish that you would call us in at 646-668-8740. But I want to turn it over to the panel and talk about things they want to talk about. But before I do that, one last little tidbit that we talked about a long time ago, and I don't know if anybody really has understood or heard or know that on July the 4th, the president is having his parade, and he's already rented the Kennedy Center or somewhere for that, for the after function. He's spending a lot of money. So I know that when he was going to have it before, we had conversations about should we or shouldn't we, but now it is already booked. There is going to be on July the 4th a military parade down in Washington, D.C. And as I remember, we had mixed issues on this, and I really, you know, don't think we can rehash it because it's already booked now. Before it was should we or shouldn't we, now it is. We're already going to have it. So, and it is, he said, and it's coming out as Trump's, it's for his ego. It's his parade. It's all toward the good work that he's done, and it's for him. So I'm not sure that everyone is going to agree with the way that it's going, but that's just a tidbit. It's your thoughts on it. I'm going to ask the panelists, their thoughts, although we've talked about this many times and I kind of got where we're going to go. But what about you, Don? What are your thoughts on the July 4th military parade now that we're going to have in Washington, D.C.?
I think it's a charade. He went to China. I forgot where that country was that he saw the military parade there, and they displayed their arms and so forth. I forgot what country that was. Maybe someone can help me. But and so he came back, and now he wants to do the same thing in the 4th of July. We don't need to show our military might. Come on. I mean, you know, who's got the bigger, well, I ain't going to say it. You know, forget that.
What about you, Bruce?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, who does have the bigger one? I wonder. I don't disagree with Don, but another side of the coin might be wishful thinking, and I'll illustrate it by something that happened today. Some of you have heard me say, you look around your towns, any and all of you, all you listeners too, and you note how many American flagpoles are empty these days. To me, that's very disturbing. And today, when I was traveling, I came over a hill into a business district, and there had to be 100 to 200 American flags flying everywhere between the businesses and that. And it was incredible to see for me. Having set the stage that way, I would like this, if we're going to have this parade, and I don't disagree with you, Don, but if it's going to happen, and you and I know we don't have any input in that, then I pray that the press would turn it into something positive instead of doing what we're doing right now about, well, it's Trump's ego, and that may all be true, but it's a patriotic thing that if it happens, let's turn it into something that pulls people together, not tear people apart. I guess that's what I'm saying.
I agree with
and
you.
Then,
I think
and then, Bruce, this parade should display the unity and love that it took to build America, not
the hatred to tear it down. That's a terrific idea. Make it a parade of not only military might, but personal and American might, the people of America. I think that's a great idea.
I think it should be called the People's Parade.
happen
annually on the 4th of July, and all the people from all over the United States, all the states represented. Each state.
Kind of like the parade. Remember the parades for the Olympics where they all mix and come together? And why can't we do that?
I don't think we have the right person in office to do that.
Oh, stop it.
I don't.
Don't go,
do you
don't
actually
go
think
there.
Why not? I'm going to. So
well,
I'm not allowed
you,
to.
Do I actually think Trump would go with that idea? I think he would. I think he would if it was presented in the right way and said, you know what? Okay, you're going to have your military equipment, but here's another part that should be there. It's Mr. Don Wiggins came up with that, blah, 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 blah. I think he would go for it. I really do.
One of the comments that it had was the president had said the parade is to honor the best president this country has ever had. So I don't see him asking everybody else to join in his one ego point. I don't know.
Ron,
where are you on this?
Well, you know, I want to believe what Bruce said and Don, you know, and if we make this about unity and what makes us strongest nation on earth, then I'm all for that. If it's just to show, you know, the strength and might of our military and use it as an intimidation tactic, you know, and basically stoop down to the same level as Kim Jong-un and his, you know, military parades. And, you know, usually it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but usually it's dictators that have military showings like this in parades. I could be wrong, but again, you know, if it's about showing, you know, why not make it the People's Parade? I like that, actually, and have all 50 states represented. I mean, not make it about Trump, but make it about the American people and where we are today as a nation, you know, on the verge of, you know, launching a new frontier into space exploration, you know, a new era, et cetera. So it should be done to celebrate all those things, not just to, again, to show off, you know, what somebody believes to be the best president in the history of the United States, which, you know, of course, is a matter of opinion.
And Ron, to add to that, if we could somehow, some way, get the press to be strong enough to say, don't go where you want to go, make it a positive thing, the statements you said, this is a positive part of doing this, and not go to, well, it's Trump's ego. That may be true, it may not be, but don't go there. Make it positive, not negative.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, and my background is journalism, but, you know, the press can say that it's all about his ego and all that, but how do they know that for a fact? I mean, that's...
They don't. They don't.
You know, exactly. Hello? Yeah?
I'm sorry. I had to go away. I was talking to a caller in.
Where did you have to go, David?
Sorry.
Never mind.
Right, I missed it for a second there. Okay, you're listening to the man's voice. So here we go. Don, every once in a while, there's things you want to talk about. What do you want to talk about today? I think his phone is falling apart. Okay, Bruce, what about you?
All right. For my girlfriend that called in last week from California, I promised to tell all of you about the ghost apples. Remember that?
Yes, and I think she's actually on the line because I can see the people that are on the line. I see her number.
Yes.
I think so.
All right.
Let me see
if she's listening. What are you going to try and get her on? Go ahead.
She probably won't, but go ahead and talk about the ghost apples. I'll see if I can get her on the line.
All right, here on the ghost apples, guys. If you're probably going, you know, what the heck am I talking about? Over here in Kent County, Michigan, we had who's doing the dishes?
I don't know. Don, is that you?
Sounds like
okay.
Wind.
All right, the ghost apples. You can look this up on the internet too. It looks like a crystal apple hanging on a branch, like a apple tree. And the way it was formed, we had a crazy, eerie kind of ice storm here. And the way I talked to someone that actually saw some of them, and like I said, you can look it up on the internet. Ghost apples. And envision a small stem, rain starting to fall, a little droplet at the end of that stem. It flash freezes, more water comes down, freezes over it, and keeps growing like layers on a candle, only it ends up round. And I swear to you, gentlemen, some of them look just like a crystal apple you can see right through. It was incredible. And somebody dubbed them ghost apples. It's really eerie. But
and they're
really
not
cool
edible
at the same time. Yeah, no, they're not edible. Or there's no calories, as a matter of fact.
Well, you can actually eat them. It's just ice.
Yes,
direct,
David.
No calories.
You could put them in a drink.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that with the ice in Michigan. Sorry.
Well, hey. Careful.
Wow. Well, okay.
So my lady caller from California, I hope you heard that.
Yeah, she's on the line, I can see.
All right.
But Ron, you're being a smart aleck. What do you want to talk about so we can get Bruce on your case?
Well, this was a complicated one, but I'll try to make it as quick and easy as possible. And I know here in South Florida it's a bigger deal than probably in the rest of the country, but what's going on right now in Venezuela, I don't know if you're all aware, but the humanitarian truck that wanted to go in to help, you know, the people that are starving, basically, and have no medications, were set on fire. There were several people killed, lots of people injured. And I saw in the news while they were playing that, I think it was the Spanish language, one of the Spanish language networks down here, they had a split screen, and on one side they had the crisis going on in the bridges between Colombia and Venezuela with the rioting and the fires, et cetera. And then on the other half of the screen, they had Nicolas Maduro with what appeared to be thousands, if not tens of thousands or more people on the streets dancing, and I don't know what they were celebrating. But I was told by, you know, people, friends of mine that are actually inside the country in Caracas, that they were using footage from when Chavez was in power to make it look like there were a lot of people, but in reality, there were very few people supporting Maduro. And I know that some of the military, the key military leaders, have already basically defected. And Trump, you know, I think Pence is on his way there or is already there. There's going to be some kind of meeting, I believe. I'm not sure where, but in Colombia, I think. So how do you all feel about the U.S. Using military power to basically take down Maduro? And, you know, because obviously there are still some people that support him, but the majority of people don't. So is this going to be like another Vietnam, or is the U.S. going to go in there and pull him out like they did with Noriega in Panama? How do you all feel about that?
Go ahead, Don. What are your thoughts on that? John. Okay. Then Bruce, what are your thoughts?
Jeremiah.
Go ahead, Jeremiah. I'll go after you.
I didn't want to comment on that. I'm kind of changing the subject, which is not cool. We got a few minutes left. I want to kind of put a twist in it. But did you guys hear about Mr. Robert Kraft, of the owner of the New England Patriots?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the next thing. We're coming to you, but I want to get this Venezuela piece finished.
Okay, go ahead. My apologies.
On Ron's comments about that, I would not like us to be a nation builder again. I think that's in the back of Ron's mind. It's in the back of mine. But at the same time, if this democracy is fledgling literally without us, I don't know that that's true, but let's say for the moment it is, and we go and just kind of support it in some way without getting our fingers in it too far, then I'm all for that. I don't know that they can do that, but that's what I would say.
All right. The United States is always running into these places, and you got to think about a lot of things. And a lot of the comments that have came out about this is Trump had made comments about Venezuela before, and his comments were he's going there and get control because that's where they're sitting on a lot of oil, and they're sitting right there. Why don't we go in and, you know, do something to get some oil out of it? So if we go in with the right thoughts in mind to help, but I'm not sure why we're going in there. I mean, I know what you're saying, why we're going in there, but if our focus is just to bring democracy to a country that is heading toward another direction, dictatorship, then I would say we might need to help. But if we're going in there just for putting somebody in place to make somebody in the United States rich, I am not for that at all. Bruce, what are your thoughts on that piece?
Well, I think most people would agree with you, David, and only playing this out and whether we want to or not, we've put certain people in charge to see if Vice President Pence or others that are involved can do that the right way. You and I don't know what they're up to right now,
right,
or what's going to happen. But I would agree with your statement. I thought everybody has said we've learned we should not try to be nation builders in the democratic image. But I have no problem us going in and helping someone that says, we want a democracy. We love the a democracy principle. Will you help us? But you and I will never know if we're pushing or helping. I want them to
help.
That's
right. Well, that's right. But you know what? I think that the people of the United States need to get more involved in what's going on in government, and we need to. And I doubt if I know the government will probably not allow this, but I think we should be putting community or citizens in some type of way in charge of overseeing these things that are going on. And we don't have any overseeing, but I think the citizens of the United States need to now come together and put groups of citizens to make sure that these are the things that are happening that we want to have happen. All right. I'm sorry. Any comment to that one there, Bruce or Ron?
Well, it would be nice to have a committee. Nowadays, it didn't seem like we need it, but maybe we do now. If we could have a truly broad brush committee that could be involved in the federal legislative in some way, where they're directly involved and could get a firsthand view of things.
All right. You've been listening to The Man's Voice, and we are glad you joined us. We're going to be off the air in about 20 seconds, but I wanted to thank everyone for being on board and the panelists. And next week, we'll probably have listeners from a radio station to be listening to put more air time. But Want to say, hope everyone enjoyed the show, and we look forward to you next week back again at 6 o'clock next Sunday. You guys have a great week. Hello, guys.
Have a good week, guys.
Yeah, we'll
thank you. Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
That's cool. We'll next show. Next show, we're going to talk about some sports.
Yeah,
but that's
Jeremy,
okay, baby.
Jeremy, bring that up next week.
Yeah, first
yes,
setting.
Sir.
Yes,
sir. Thank you.